Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Would you read together with me the title of our sermon today? The Phones for You. Based on our gospel from Luke 3, especially these words in verse 4 from John the Baptizer. The voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. I invite you to follow your sermon outline today as we consider this important theme, the phones for you. Well, yes, the phone rings and I pick it up and say, hello. And the voice on the other end says, hey, how you doing? And I pause and say, with a question in my voice, okay, because I don't recognize the voice. Some people are just in the habit, maybe you know someone like this, who call you on the phone, start talking, they don't tell you who they are, they just assume you know who they are. At times, I don't know who it is, and it can get embarrassing. Has that ever happened to you? If you are one of those people who call me and don't identify yourselves, quit it. Tell me who you are. Another time the phone rings. It happened yesterday, even after I was practicing the sermon. The phone rings. A voice on the phone says, hey, Bobby, this is Moose. I know exactly who that is. My old baseball buddy from the USA. He brings up our old nicknames for each other. He's Moose, and that makes me Bobby. That's my nickname. There are certain people whose voice we know so well that as soon as we hear it, we know exactly who it is, and we're eager to get their message. Today, on the second Sunday of Advent, we are here. Are you listening? We are here to listen to a voice. A voice, St. Luke tells us, quote, is a voice, one calling in the wilderness. He's calling in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. This is a voice of none other than John the Baptizer. He has an important message for each of us, so please don't hang up the phone. The phone's for you. Listen to him. He's calling to you. Now, we know John as the forerunner of Christ, who came to prepare people for the coming of Jesus Christ. We know John because of his voice and because of his message. He proclaimed, repent. The kingdom of God is near. Repent. Prepare the way of the Lord. In Old Testament times, God raised up prophets to call his people to repentance. How come? To call his people to repentance, to quit following after false gods, to quit trusting in their own good deeds instead of God's mercy for salvation, to quit their half-hearted worship of just going through the motions. The same things were true in New Testament times, as John the Baptizer, whom some people call the last of the Old Testament prophets. John was a voice in the wilderness, calling people to repent of these same sins. And the people responded. Did you listen to the gospel reading? It says, then people went out to him from Jerusalem, Judea, the whole region of the Jordan, confessing their sins. They were baptized by John in the Jordan River. My friends, the phone's for you. Are you listening? Don't hang up. God comes today through the words of John the Baptist to call us to repentance. Can you hear his voice calling to you and to me? Please, don't hang up the phone. The phone is for you. As the people of Israel worshiped God half-heartedly, so today we can find ourselves guilty of the same sin. Whenever we make a habit of skipping church for some other activity on Sunday morning, we need to repent. Whenever we hear his word preached, but really don't pay attention to it, we need to repent. whenever we treat Sunday like a burdensome duty instead of a wonderful gift, we need to repent. Whenever we think that our salvation is based on our church membership or our good deeds instead of God's mercy for us in Christ, we need to repent. The biblical word repent, here it comes. This is what the biblical word repent means. It means quit going in one direction and turn around completely going in the other direction. The word means a change of mind, a change of heart. Instead of going this way, away from God, come back. Repent. Genuine repentance includes both sorrow for my sin and also a change in the way I'm living. Only the Holy Spirit of God is able to work that kind of repentance in our hearts and our souls. Now, the people who heard John's voice really were hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit calling to them and convicting them. And the Holy Spirit drew them to the River Jordan to confess their sins and to be baptized by John in what Luke calls a baptism of repentance. As the Holy Spirit of the living God led people to John to hear God's word and be baptized, guess what? So the Holy Spirit of God has led you to this place to hear his word and even to be baptized. If you have not yet been baptized, if you have not yet been instructed in the Christian faith, but you want to be, please know that God is speaking to your heart. Please come and talk with me. We can take care of all these things. Dear friends, through our Sunday after Sunday ongoing hearing of God's word in this place, our faith is being strengthened. Listen to these next sentences. They are the most important sentences of the whole sermon. We grow when God's word is being proclaimed. We grow in trusting that because of Jesus, God the Father no longer condemns us for our sin. He only sees us covered in the perfect righteousness of Christ. Let me say that again. Because of Jesus' sacrifice on the cross of Calvary, God the Father no longer condemns us for our sin. He only sees us, and that's why the pastor wears a white robe. He only sees us covered in the perfect righteousness of Christ. Wow. St. Paul says the same thing in Romans 8, verse 1. Now, this is so important. I talk to people almost every week, every day. And this week, I make a habit of sending my sermons to people I haven't seen for a while. So this week, I'm sending my sermons, especially Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, to a dear friend of mine from 50 years ago. Almost 60 years ago, we grew up as little boys playing baseball all through school. His name is Brian Malone. Now he lives in Wyoming. God somehow laid it upon my heart to send him especially the Christmas Eve and Christmas Day sermon. Hadn't seen him for years. We communicate once in a while, but he emailed me back and said, "How did you possibly know that the message in this sermon today is just what I needed to hear? Because I was lying in bed last night and saying, how could God ever love and accept and forgive a sinner like me for what I've made from my life?" Now, the words of the Holy Gospel is this: for Jesus' sake, God the Father doesn't condemn us for our sins. We are clothed in the righteousness of Christ. God knew that young man needed that message. That's why he had me send it to him. Paul puts it this way in Romans 8, verse 1. Listen to these precious verses. This verse is in my funeral service. Romans 8, 1 says, "There is no longer any condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." Being in Christ Jesus means we have been covered with his righteousness. There's a hymn in our hymn book. A beautiful old hymn. This hymn is over 100 years old that says the same thing. Let me share it with you. It happens to be 563, but listen to it. The guy who wrote this was named Count Nicholas von Zinzendorf. Guess where he was from, Herb? Not Ireland. Jesus, your blood and righteousness, my beauty are, my glorious dress. Bold shall I stand in that great day, cleansed and redeemed, no debt to pay. Lord, I believe we're sinners more than sands upon the ocean shore. You have for all a ransom paid, for all a full atonement made. Now listen to it. I hope this doesn't ruin your lunch. Jesus, your blood and righteousness, my beauty are my glorious dress. Bold shall I stand in that great day, cleansed and redeemed, no debt to pay. Lord, I believe we're sinners more than sands upon the ocean shore. You have for all a ransom paid, for all a full atonement made. How about an amen? Amen. My friends, we're talking about the cross here. For the Christian, it is all about the cross. It's coming up to 12 years now. But when Beverly and I received the call to become your pastor and we visited here to meet with the elders, when I first walked down this aisle into the sanctuary and saw this great piece of art of our Lord upon the cross, my first thought was, this is the place you need to be. This proclaims to anyone who comes in this place, this is what this congregation is all about. It's all about the cross, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, our Lord. It's all about the cross. Even Christmas. Do you know? Even Christmas is all about the cross. Everything we hold dear is connected to what Jesus did on the cross of Calvary as he shed his precious blood for your sins and for mine and covered us with his pure and perfect righteousness. This time of the year, of course, we're all thinking about Christmas and Jesus' birth. But the very reason for Christmas is the cross. Let me say it again. The very reason for Christmas is the cross. Without the cross, the Christmas really means nothing. Jesus was born so that he could lay down his life in death to be our Savior. Christmas without the cross really means nothing. That's the reason that during the Christmas season at our house, in a window that faces the sidewalk and street, we put up a big cross that I've made, wrapped in red Christmas lights, for all the neighbors to see, Rohan and Nibby. You were at our house last Sunday. You saw that cross in the window. We want anybody who sees it to connect Christmas with the cross. Jesus' first coming as the Christmas baby points us to the one who will lay down his life on the cross for the sins of the world. And Jesus' second coming as the world's judge points us back to the one who already laid down his life for all sinners. The voice of John told the people of his day and tells us today that the best way to prepare for Jesus' coming is to repent. Repentance gets us right with God and gets us ready for the advent of Jesus, whether his first coming at Christmas or his last coming as judge at the end of the world. Are you ready for his coming? If you're anything like Beverly and me, and it's funny, we have to apologize to Rohan and Nibby, we didn't even know you were coming. You were in the neighborhood checking out the Indian restaurant. We went with you too. So we weren't ready for your coming. But if any of you are like Beverly and me, and if a guest is coming to your house, what do you do ahead of time? You clean up. That's right. You prepare, you clean up. You should just see me. It's actually quite a funny sight. My mama would be proud if we know visitors are coming. I'm vacuuming, I'm dusting, I'm cleaning the bathrooms, and Beverly is making that wonderful meal. Oh, my mother would be proud. Why do we do such a thing? Because we want to be ready for our special guest's arrival. Their coming, their adventing is important to us. We want everything to be just right. The voice of John tells us today that the best way to prepare for the advent of Jesus is to repent, to dust, to clean, to vacuum the sins for our lives, to turn from our sins and to our Lord in repentance. And when John's voice called the people to repentance in his day, did you hear the reaction of the people? Listen to this. He said, repent. And verse 10 says, and the crowds asked him, what shall we do? John said, repent. And verse 12 says, and the tax collectors asked him, what shall we do? You probably guess what's coming up next. John said, repent. And the soldiers asked him, what shall we do? John told them all they needed to, quote, bear the fruits of repentance. And Holy Scripture gives us two broad principles when it comes to the fruits of repentance. Glance at your sermon outline, too. Right now, the last two points of your message. Principle number one, bearing the fruit of repentance means, watch, to turn away from the sin that you're repenting of. To the greedy and selfish of his day, remember the reading? To the greedy and selfish of his day, John the Baptizer said, give clothing and food to those who are in need. To the cheating tax collectors, John said, quit ripping people off. Collect what only is right. And to a woman caught in adultery, Jesus said, go now and leave your life of sin. My friend, what sin do you need to repent of in this Advent season? If it is anger and holding on to a grudge, then forgiveness is in order. If it is neglecting your parents or your children, then giving them your time and your affection is in order. If it is neglecting God and His Word, then a change in your weekly priorities is in order. The fruit of repentance is turning from the sins you are repenting of. And Jesus Christ, who lives in the Christian by faith, will strengthen you for this important task. Principle two, do you see it? What does it say? Restore, if possible, what sin has ruined. In Luke chapter 19, when Zacchaeus the tax collector came down from the sycamore tree because Jesus came to his town of Jericho, in response to Jesus' invitation to come down, listen to what Zacchaeus said. He talked about restoring what his sin has ruined. Zacchaeus said, Jesus, look, here and now I give half my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody from anything, if he was a tax collector, he did. If I've cheated anyone from anything, I will pay them back four times the amount. Restore, if possible, what sin has ruined. What sinned, ruined situation do you need to restore in this Advent season? It's not too late. Are you listening? It is not too late to restore that which sin has ruined. Jesus Christ, who lives in the Christian by faith, will empower you to do this very thing. Please, take that first step. No matter how small a step you think that might be to restore what sin has ruined in your life, make that phone call. Write that letter. Send that email. Maybe personally deliver that bouquet of flowers. Take a walk and knock on that door. If there is a way, any way, to even begin to restore what our sin has ruined, the fruit of repentance will enable us to do that. And now we end this sermon where we began. Sometimes I pick up the phone and I hear a voice on the other end of the line. And it doesn't call me Pastor Harold. It doesn't call me Dr. Harold. It doesn't even call me Stephen. If the voice begins with a greeting like this, hello, could I speak with a Mr. Harold? Then I'm pretty sure I don't want to answer the phone. It's probably somebody trying to sell me something I don't want and I don't need. That's a voice I don't want to listen to. I just want to hang up the phone. You know what I mean. But today in the sermon, John, the baptizer is calling to you. And he's calling to me, and he says, don't hang up the phone. The phone is for you. Listen carefully to what John is saying to you. His message is a very simple one. His message is an important one. Repent. Daily repent and discover the wonderful difference it will make in your life. Dear Lord, make each of us here today your repentant and your forgiven child, ready for the advent of Jesus at Christmas and at the end of the world. And when you call to us, Lord, help us not to hang up the phone. In the name of Jesus, amen.